It's interesting for a day of joy and a season of giving and gifts and love that any fighting could possibly happen. And by the way, speaking of fighting, I'm fighting a cold. So I've got a pocket full of lozenges and a bottle of water to fight this. So you have to excuse me. You know, this is not a day, this is not a season for us to be fighting over words. This is an opportunity for us to discuss purpose with the people that we live around. That this isn't an opportunity for us to fight with anybody. Christmas is an opportunity for us to talk to each other. To talk to each other about the purpose of what God had in mind when he sent Jesus Christ to this world. And it's not just his arrival, but it's his life. And it's not just his death, but it's his resurrection. And it's not just about his resurrection, it is about the glory that awaits all of us, all because God loved us. John 3:16 is our verse for today because it is a beautiful and it is a simple verse. And it is, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, God so loved the world, and this is Jesus. I need to put this in context for you because we usually go to John 3:16 because we've either seen it on a poster board or we've seen this somewhere else and it's taken out of context. But I want to help you understand where this verse is at, that Jesus is talking to someone who represents a dangerous philosophy, that God only loved a select few people. And that God chose those select few people, and even they had to work so hard to maintain that love. See, the Pharisees, and that's who Jesus is talking to, the Pharisees represented a legalistic type attitude towards God, meaning that you had to earn, you had to work for God's love. And so they took the law of Moses, and they took a large portion of the Old Testament, and they said, we are going to use this as a barrier. We're going to use this to separate people from God. And not just this law, but we are going to add more laws. We're going to add more things to separate people from God's love. And they created a system where the only people that knew they were loved by God is people they allowed. People that said, okay, you're good enough. You've done well enough. Now God loves you, but not necessarily you. You haven't done enough. You haven't given enough. So when Jesus opens this, he says, and he claims that God loves the whole world, the good, the bad, and everybody in the middle. Listen to 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. See, this is John expounding on this biblical theme. See, the Torah, the prophets, the New Testament, these are stories of God reaching down into a fallen human world to bring them love. That is the purpose of this book, to show you and to show others that God loves you. That God loves them, that God loves they, that God loves everybody, not just you. This book is here to ask us to go out into this world and to love it. Now, I know this sounds cliche and it's corny because we repeat this so often, but God's love for the world is central to understanding Jesus. See, without God's love, Jesus is a crazy person. Jesus makes no sense. He's actually quite scary if you do not understand the love that God has for this world. That Jesus comes down and he heals some, but not others. He feeds some, but not others. It doesn't make sense without understanding God's love for this place. See, this passage starts much like his gospel does. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It sounds so similar. Again, the same author, and it's the same message that God has for us. See, love was the predominant motivating factor for everything that God has done, for all of God's actions, for all of his creation. It all sprang forth from his love for us, his want to create, his want to give his son for us. All of these things because he loved us. And love should be, it needs to be, our predominant motivation as well. See, if God loved the world, shouldn't we as well? And if you said yes to this, and I want you to make sure, because it's easy to ask a bunch of Christians, do you love the world? Because we kind of have to say yes. We're almost legally obligated to say yes, right? I mean, we were baptized. We signed a little form. We committed our lives to Jesus. So when you answer, all right, do you love the world? Do you act like it? And again, it's easy to say yes to that question. But then I have to ask, and see, there's a bunch of questions I have for you. I have to ask again, do the people you live around get the impression that you love them? Do the people you live next to understand your actions towards them as love? As love specifically, God showing his love towards them through you. Do people look at you and all they see is love coming out of you? Because that is what God wants us to be. So how did he love this world? He gave his only begotten son. See, he gave himself to us. See, God created a world knowing that it would rebel against him. God created perfection, knowing that the people, the humans that he would place into this perfection would mess everything up, that it would get everything wrong. See, he knew that we would rebel, and he knew that he would have to enter into this world as a baby, as a fellow human. He knew that his perfect life would lead to a brutal death. He knew that even after he went to the cross, that still most would not believe. And he still did it. He still did it. God did this knowing all of that. And he still created. And he still gave his son for us. See, the Old Testament and the law, a majority of this book, it is about showing us and showing people how bad sin is. That sin is very bad. And that our obedience, though essential, only makes matters worse. See, this complicated and bloody system contrasts with the beauty and simplicity of grace. See, he gave us Jesus to stop a vicious cycle of sin and punishment. And so try harder to not sin, but yet you sin more, so you get punished more. Jesus' life was given to stop that. See, his son's life was an example for us to follow. Jesus' life was a challenge to the hosts of death and evil. I want you to meet me at the cross, and let's see who wins. Jesus' life was a demonstration for us that it is possible to be perfect, that it is possible to be perfect, to be sinless, to go face to face against evil and death and to be victorious. And that is what his life represents to us. See, our broken and fallen world, the stronghold of death, was pitted against Jesus on the cross, all because God loves you. That he currently loves you, and he is currently acting out that love in each of our lives. See, Jesus was given to this world for us to accept or to deny, to follow or to rage against. Jesus was not given to be hoarded or moderated, parceled out withheld or metered out by us. He gave Jesus so that Jesus can give his perfect life for you. Jesus fought and defeated the hosts of death for you. All for you. All for your neighbors. All for your friends, your coworkers, your family. The people that you disagree with, the people you fight against. That God did all of that for you. For them. For everyone. It starts out with God so loved the world. Not most of the world, not some of the world. Not only the good parts of the world. He says God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So what do I have to do? What do I have to do? Which is the question I am left with. What do I have to do? How do I respond to such a gift of love? To such a demonstration of perfection? And he says it. That whoever believes in him shall not perish. See, once you recognize the power of Jesus over sin and death, once you commit your life to his cause, you cannot lose. It is impossible. You just cannot lose. That when you connect your life to Jesus, when you follow his commands, when you obey his teachings, you cannot lose. Listen to these scriptures. 1 John 3:16. This is how we know that what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31. And this has got to be one of my favorite pieces of scripture, depicting our love towards him and God's love towards us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus. Is he who died? Yes. Rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor taxes, nor arguments, nor politics, or presidents, or congresses. I wish we would just repeat this to ourselves all the time. Every time our culture comes up with one more thing to fight over, one more thing to divide over, one more thing to choose one person or one group over another person or another group. I wish then that we would repeat this together, almost in a mantra, almost as in a meditation, that we can repeat to ourselves. Yeah, it's not no powers, no heights, no depths, nor any other created thing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you. Yes. Nothing. Nothing. I can't help but smile. Maybe not giggle so much, but I almost want to laugh. This is what God has done for us. That this is what God has spent lifetimes, that he has spent countless resources, not so we can argue over Christmas or holidays, but so that we can tell others, this is the love that God has for you. And the reason I know that is because I am proof of what God's love looks like. The problem is we don't often look like it. We get too busy. We get too caught up in this world. We get too busy caught up on the heights and the depths and the powers. We get too busy checking out the principalities and the things present and the things past. We get too caught up on death and life, we get too caught up on those things. And we forget that it's about Jesus. That's about Jesus, our Messiah. The peace of God, the God who came down from heaven, who forsook everything, who humbled himself like a slave and laid himself down for us. Who, when was called on him to act because of sin, laid down his life for us. Because he loved us. Act like it. Act like it. Smile sometimes when you talk about Jesus. When you sing praises to him, smile then too. It's a great act of worship to go before God knowing that he loves you enough to move heaven and earth to show you, I don't want you to perish. That is not his intent for us. It's his reward. But have eternal life. See, this, when you commit your life to Christ at that moment, when you come out of the baptistry, when you have dedicated and you laid your life down on the altar of God, and you looked into his face and said, I am done leading my life. I'm done putting myself on the pedestal. And when you lay yourself down in the baptistry, which is what that is, you are burying yourself. You are deciding to die to everything else, to die to the depths and the heights and the principalities, to die to all of those distractions. And instead, I will live for the one thing that actually matters, Jesus Christ. I will put him on the altar. I will put him on the throne of my life. I will put him before all things. When you do this, that is when your eternal life starts. It is not some far-off concept. It is a here and now. It is a present quality of life. See, when you believe, when through your commitment and faith in the power and love of Jesus Christ, you clothe yourself with his righteousness, when you leave behind the yoke of slavery that only produces death, when you die and like Christ lay down your life before God, only then can eternal life begin. See, this is not heaven that he is talking about. This eternal life is something that we get to experience here. It's something that we get to experience now so that others can see what heaven might look like. That if you see me smile, it is only because of God's grace that he has shown in my life. It is because of the people that he has placed so graciously to love me, to serve me, that I am humbled by this. So that others can look at this and see, this is what eternal life, this is what heaven, yeah, just a glimpse, just a peek, what it might look like. See, Jesus did all of this to give you eternal life. See, this is what God has wanted for us the whole time. He built the garden. And when we lost that blessing, God spent countless years and lives to bring us back. And that is what this book is about. And I'm going to bring you back to that verse, because that verse, I think, in a way that I'm becoming, I just appreciate more and more, is that it is so simply states what this Bible is about. It is about God's love. It is about God's response to our foolishness, about God's requirements and what God's rewards are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So go. Go. Be Christ to others. Lay down your life for others. Love others because Christ has loved you. Because God has moved heaven and earth through time and space to give you this day. To show somebody that you might meet that he loves them just as much. So will you please stand as we continue to worship this God?